So Thanos just snapped in the movie that your family's watching, and
Yeah.
Kalen literally just disappeared from
Yeah.
our recording.
This is not good.
Away out in the Midwest, there were some fellas. Fellas by the names of Jeb, Kalen, and Durs. But these fellas called themselves the Trailblazers. Now that's a name no one would self-apply where I come from. But then, there was a lot about the Trailblazers that didn't make a whole lot of sense. Maybe that's why I found their podcast so darn interesting.
Let's cool. begin.
Let's
Let
do
us
it.
Begin.
Hello and welcome to the Trailblazers.
We are here. We are here. Welcome. Yeah. I guess I should do some talking. Welcome again. I think it's episode 6. Episode 6.
Oh, yeah. Old Sixy. Good old.
And today we've got quite the episode for you with some of your favorite segments. Some of your favorites.
Yeah, all the favorites.
We're going to be doing our episode 2 of Shazam. We'll actually start to storyboard it, and it'll be a fun time for all. It'll be a fun time had by all.
Mostly us.
Yeah, mostly us. But before we do that, time for some headlines. Report and react.
My favorite.
I've got only 2 headlines for you guys today, so one for each of you, but
Oh, that's good.
We'll knock them out, and it'll be a good time.
All right.
So, we're going to start with Kalen. All right. Dwayne Johnson pitches a Thor/Fast and Furious crossover, and it sounds amazingly awful.
Christ. I want to read it.
I want to read it, too.
He should come on our podcast. This is what we do.
Thor, Fast and Furious.
Well, it'll be better than Thor: The Dark World.
All right. It would be a very interesting. That'd be interesting. I mean, the Fast and Furious. I mean, it just gets more and more crazy.
Wait till the multiverse becomes more accepted by the fans, and we'll see. We'll get there.
All right. All right, Jeb. Here's for yours. Here's for you. Deadpool writers say X-Force and Deadpool 3 are still the plan moving forward, despite Disney purchase.
Oh, that is glorious. That makes me very happy.
I thought it would. I thought it might.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be the sequel to the Thor Dwayne Johnson crossover.
Oh my god, that'd be wonderful. Thor, Fast
oh
and
god.
Furious with Deadpool just kind of
and it's all
in there.
Well, yeah, it's all Deadpool's fan fiction.
Dude.
Oh my god, could you imagine as well? Vin Diesel's character in Fast and Furious is actually Bloodshot, his new character that he's playing in the new Valiant universe.
That would be so confusing.
I'm assuming that.
And then where does Groot come in all this?
Exactly. Oh my god.
I Groot.
I don't, that's not really, you know, this week, not really my place to say the news, but I saw a pretty crispy photo of Vin Diesel in his new movie, Bloodshot. It's the Valiant comic universe. The character does not look like Vin Diesel, but I'm thinking he'll undergo some transformation in the film. That's for us to talk about another day, perhaps.
Mayhaps.
When the trailer comes to our eyeballs.
Also a little bit of piece of news is today is National Winnie the Pooh Day.
Huh.
So to all you honey lovers.
Oh, bother.
I hate it. I hate everything.
Yeah.
I hate this. Scrap the whole beginning of this podcast.
All right. Well, that's what I have for the news. Mm-hmm. Not too much. I mean, there's always plenty of news.
Some good people
coming and going from different places, being told they're going to be in different movies. You know,
right.
It's all over the stuff, all over the place.
All over.
Oh, that's... well, Shazam 2.
Shazam 1. Shazam episode 2.
That's Shazam, what we're doing.
Exclamation point, Shazam.
But the exclamation point is a lightning bolt. Make no mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Well, I mean, yeah. I don't.
I just assumed it was.
When it's just written out, like, on a script, it's just Shazam! Exclamation point. You can't really write out a lightning bolt on a printer.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, Shazam! So...
No, it's not. Oh, maybe it is. No, it's not. Oh, I'm looking at the poster. It's just a big lightning bolt behind the Z. They missed a big opportunity.
Wow. Well, they missed it. We don't have to miss it.
Right.
Anyway, let's get to it. I hope you guys have refreshed yourself on the trailer.
Yes. Shazam.
Let's kind of go over it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Again, I know we kind of briefed it in the first one, but let's just a quick synopsis of what we see in the trailer. What's going on?
If memory serves, Shazam is a superhero who... you play him a song and he tells you who the song is by and what year it came out.
Yeah. So Shazam, the movie, not the app, is about
it's not
a boy.
The app?
Oh, no.
It's not about the app. They didn't adapt the app Shazam that I used all the way from 2013 to 2017.
Wow. Damn.
I know.
That's too bad.
Unfortunate. it's about a boy, not much different than you and I, named Billy Batson.
Yeah.
And
good
it opens
Billy.
Opens on him having some troubles in foster homes, and one of the, I don't know, state government people says, "Look, you've run away from six different foster homes in however many counties. Give these people a chance. You can't be on your own until you're 18. Give these people a chance." So he gets adopted or brought in by a family with a few foster kids. And one of them is do either of you know his name? I can't think of his name.
I don't know his name, though.
Well, I can only assume that he's going to become Captain Marvel Jr.
Well,
you know,
that's a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah,
that's a thing.
He had a whole separate comic.
Are they going to call him Captain Marvel Jr.?
Well, he's not Captain Marvel anymore because of Marvel.
Exactly.
And there's really nothing in the trailer that tells us anything about that.
Yeah. Well, he's crippled, so that's...
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So it's this crippled friend, and so they kind of become fast friends because they're both kind of outcasts and. They go to school and the crippled kid gets beat up and Billy comes in to protect him. That then leads to him getting chased into a subway. In the subway, it kind of gets transformed into this cave in which he meets this old being that says, Billy Patson, I've chosen you
Shazam.
To be my champion. I've chosen you to be my champion. So he says, say my name, and it's Shazam. So he says it, and he becomes Shazam, the superhero. And then we see him meeting up with his friend again, saying, "Hey, it's me, Billy." And them going through some shenanigans, meeting a bad guy briefly, and trying out their powers.
He so does a floss dance.
Yeah.
Because why not?
So that's kind of what we have from the trailer. Let's kind of, before we really get into building it, let's kind of go over some of your rudimentary plot building exercises. So,
he's not going to be flossing.
That is correct.
it was a dead meme when the trailer came out. It's a dead meme now.
So, this is both for us as trailer blazers and writers of our movie. And also for our listeners, just so you can kind of get a sense of what we're kind of going for here. So I've got a few things that I've jotted down about what we should try to aim for. Okay. So the first one you got is the basic outline. You got exposition, rising action, climax, falling action, resolution. Everyone's mm-hmm. normally knows that plot structure, and that's what we're going to try to aim for most of our plots. Number two is the five plotting moments that matter. That goes number one, inciting moment. Number two, opening problem, followed by an attempted solution. Number three, a complication, followed by an attempted solution. Number four, another complication, attempted solution, climax, ending is number five. So that's the five plotting points that matter. Yeah. Number three, and this one I think we're going to use pretty heavily, and what I'm about to tell you is pretty basic compared to the Joseph Campbell version that this is based off of.
Yeah.
This is the hero's journey. And you can see this examples of this all over the place, from the Bible to Tolkien to just about anything, ancient Greece, anywhere. So the hero's journey, it starts with the call to adventure. You know, let's go on a journey. Someone comes and says, you need to go do this. It moves to the threshold. I have never been this far from home before in my life. I'm about to take that one extra step. Followed next by challenges and temptations, which is then followed by the abyss, death and rebirth, revelation. This is the bottom. This is the darkest, deepest point of our hero's path, where everything seems lost. But where they go through the most change, which then turns to transformation, turns to atonement, and then finally the return home. So that's the call to adventure, or that's the hero's journey. Finally, we've got the seven basic plot types. For each movie we do, we're probably going to get close to one of these. The first one is overcoming the monster, protagonist versus malevolent being or figure. Number two, rags to riches. It's pretty self-explanatory. Number three, the voyage and return. Number four, the quest. Five, comedy. Six, tragedy. And seven, rebirth. So this is what, for now, we're going to work off of. Maybe throughout the year's episodes, we add a few more writing points if we get better at what we're doing. But that's what we've got to start. I think it would be great if we kind of begin with Shazam, where all stories should begin, at the beginning.
Oh, yes.
The exposition.
Sweet.
So what do we think? Where do we think this might open? This movie should open compared to what we've seen in the trailer.
Yeah. So I'd like to first say that what you've laid down as a pretty, you know, universal, the everyday frame for these movies, usually superhero movies follow this hero's journey, but I don't think that that's necessarily going to be the case with Shazam.
I think there will be moments.
Well, the thing with Shazam is that it's two personalities. Well, the appearance of two. It's one person, and the point is that he has to fulfill two roles. I don't think it's going to be as back and forth. Toward the end of the movie, it's going to be a lot less back and forth than, say, Spider-Man, where he's Peter Parker first and foremost. Or maybe Superman, where he's Clark Kent first and foremost. I think he's going to want to become the superhero, and the child is going to be pulling back
but on that personality. I think with that, you kind of, I see a lot of the transformation and atonement in this.
Yeah.
In that he's going to start off as like, oh my gosh, I've got superpowers. I can do anything. I can, you know, beat up some bad guys and buy some beer.
Yeah.
You know, we can do these superhero tests and just have fun. Oh, like he said, when he meets Mark Strong's character, the bad guy, for what we know, is like, oh my God, you're a bad guy? And he still looks to have fun.
Yeah.
So he's kind of in this, like, I'm not taking this seriously, but he's going to eventually hit that abyss, which will lead him to being like, oh man, I have to change who I am. I have to transform, and he'll have to go through that transformation and then atone for maybe some of the things he did wrong, to fix some of those inner problems.
Yeah. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to pull up basically the entire plot of Big, the movie Big with Tom Hanks. Have you guys seen that movie?
Yes.
No.
I'm not going to pull it up. I'm going to pull it up in my mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that exact frame of reference, as you said just now, like where he realizes things one at a time, but it's going to go back to, there's a scene that always gets me. It always got me when I was a kid, because I was one of those kids who was like, oh man, being an adult would be the best thing. But then it's when he like has to like find, I think he like has to like find a motel or something, and he just like crashes and like cries, and he's like, fuck the adult world, this sucks. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And for Shazam, the weight of his responsibility as a superhero is going to hit him like a truck.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a moment where he, it's like, oh, I can block bullets, and then someone comes at him with a literally maybe a truck or something of that equivalent. He stops it, and there's a consequence. You know,
right.
Someone crashes and dies. Something that, by the way, I know I mentioned Spider-Man earlier. It's a good parallel because of who Spider-Man is. But like in Spider-Man Homecoming, there's a lot of stuff that Peter Parker does that has no consequences in real life. It's a real big it's something in that movie that I think it's really pulling it back from being a truly great movie. I hope Shazam doesn't fall into that where there's zero consequences for what he does.
I think the way the trailer has presented itself, I think you're right that there is going to be some kind of consequence, because this trailer shows a lot of let's joke around and have fun with these powers, which leads me to believe that that's going to be a flaw that comes up and bites him in the butt later.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it hurting his crippled friend somehow.
Yeah, I think they're going to play off the ego that Billy Batson has, being just totally bloated when he becomes Shazam. You can see it just in the tongue-in-cheek way that the advertising is. I mean, we're not going off the advertising, we're going off the trailer, which is advertising, but just the fact that, he's grabbing this pile of stuff from a convenience store that it looks like he might even be in the process of robbing. I don't know how he got all that stuff just because he saved the store. I guess he feels entitled to it. I'm not sure.
I just thought he bought it because he could, because he looks like an adult.
Right. Exactly. He probably did. But a lot of these things that show kind of an entitled, that might be the theme that they're going for with Billy. He has a phone. He has, on the poster. I know we're supposed to call it the poster, but like it's so hard to ignore when it's really good advertising. Mm-hmm. But he's basically he's blowing gum. He's on his phone. He's still a kid. They're trying to show he's a kid. That that first poster was him with like some sort of weird cup, and no one knew what it was. I think it was supposed to be like some sort of soda, but it was like a weird plastic cup. But I think that's taking off that scene in the trailer where he comes out of the convenience store, and that's really all we have so far of him showing that ego that could be destructive.
Yeah. Right. So going back, I think let's get started on.
Ooh.
Jeb.
I know a really good parallel. It's kind of like. You remember the first Thor where he's all like, oh, I'm Thor. I can do anything. Like, I have no consequences. Blah, blah, blah. I'm a badass. And then they're like, no, actually, you have no powers. You're going to Earth. And until you grow up, you don't have your hammer anymore.
Thor in that movie had a supreme lack of insight that his father didn't want him to have. And Thor went out looking for it with the Warriors 3 and with Loki. Mm-hmm. And he found out that there's a lot bigger universe and a lot more things at stake and he was no longer worthy. Something similar is going to happen with Shazam in that his powers are of a supernatural origin, and the way that he gets them is by meeting someone who has all this profound insight into the inner workings of the universe, and he's just a kid. And it's all just laden on him. And that's something that I think is going to be interesting, is the burden that the wizard has. Like, you know, who is this man who has all this power and is just going to be bestowing it on who he deems worthy? It might be the worst idea ever, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I see what you were talking about with Thor. Thor's thing was more of like, I know more than my dad.
Right.
I know more than anyone. I'm Thor. I have the hammer. I'm worthy.
It was his reckoning.
I feel like Shazam's gonna be like a surprise where he was like, oh, I was on the train and now I'm in a sanctum of a weird wizard and he's giving me all these powers. It's gonna be a surprise type thing, and less of an arrogance type thing, mm-hmm. I think. But I see what you mean.
So yes, let's get going. Let's start with exposition. How do we think this movie is gonna open? I know I have an idea. I want to hear a couple of yours. How we're opening this movie? How it's gonna start?
Like Big, he's gonna start.
maybe
it's gonna be basically you know, your high school movie. They're gonna try to make it creepy the whole way through. I think that they're gonna have the because they're trying to make the story follow a more fantastic, like this is a fantasy, mm-hmm. in the real world. It's a medieval fantasy in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. The archetypes of characters, the villain looks he has a freaking scar on his eye. Shazam has a lightning bolt on him. This is like if someone, it really is like from the 30s, it was like, oh, we need to make a character that's like Superman. How do we draw him? We'll put a lightning bolt on him. Make him look just like Superman. And, you know, you'd say how it's like very simplistic in a lot of ways.
Yeah. It's very simplistic.
But yeah, it's a fantasy in the real world. It's going to start with him the young, because we have to show how he gets picked up, you know, what his circumstances are. It's going to be some tragic thing. Famously, as Kevin Smith liked to say, to make a good superhero, you got to kill his parents first.
Well, and yeah, he is a foster kid. I don't know if we'll actually see his parents personally. I think we're going to see him running from his last family.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too.
Getting picked up and having to go to that state foster place where he gets a little, where he gets a little talking to and gets lucky enough to have this one last chance.
Yeah.
It's either this or juvie kind mm-hmm. of a thing.
Yeah, I hope it's really straightforward to the point. We don't need to see his parents.
Right.
I don't think it's going to go there. It's not like Batman where it's like a legendary thing where every single movie, even though we've seen the origin, we got to see it again.
Every time.
However, we've never seen Shazam. I'm interested to see it, but we don't need it. I think it's going to make the movie longer than it needs to be. It doesn't need to be a long movie. I think the intro could just be basically what's in the trailer. Mm-hmm.
I think you're absolutely right. We get opening where he's running from his last place, gets picked up, makes it to his new family. First day of school, he knows no one, so he sticks around with his friend that, you know, is his family that you know, who loves superheroes. Mm-hmm. That kid gets beat up, bullied. But before that, during lunch, you know, the kid asks, if you could have a superpower, what would it be? Mm-hmm. And he says flying, so we could get away from our situations, so we could fly away from our problems.
Right. It's worth noting that at the beginning of the trailer, we see Billy running, we see him getting into a car. You know, it's not certain that this is the very beginning of the movie before he's picked mm-hmm. up. You know, maybe he ran away from whatever foster home he was at. It could be when he's running from the bullies. But he seems to be in sort of a delinquent attitude
mm-hmm.
where, you know, he is the law. that's going to transfer over to when he's a superhero. You know, he doesn't have a really different personality. He's still Billy Batson in the suit as an adult.
Do you think we could get some kind of monologue from either him as Shazam or Old Man Shazam at the very beginning saying, let me tell you a story about this boy.
Mm.
This boy who's me. Kind of.
I don't see that happening. I don't want any exposition.
Okay.
I want
to get through it.
Have it be a kid's story. Maybe it doesn't even, there's no way to tell this is even a superhero movie until the middle of the movie, and then he goes on a train and he finds the wizard, you know? That'd be so cool.
Yeah. We will get him going into the cave between 15 and 30 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
And it's a long span, but in the terms of a superhero movie like this, DC especially, when they go probably 2 hours, is probably going to go or more unnecessarily. I think you're correct. That's a good prediction. And he doesn't have a lot of knowledge about superheroes. His friend, I'm thinking, is Freddy from the comics? I'm not sure. I don't know if they say it in the trailer.
It might be Freddy. Freddy Freeman. Sounds right. Freddy mm-hmm. sounds very but right.
They just know what they've seen on TV and on the news.
Well, and
they don't know much about what actually it takes. This is very much in the realm of, like I was saying earlier, just a surprise. It's not going to be so much arrogance for them. It's going to be so more like surprise and wonder and excitement and doing the wrong thing on accident. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of like, oh, I thought I was saving them by doing this. It's like, dude, you went and got away. You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Okay. I have an idea.
Yeah.
It's probably a stupid idea, but it's mainly just to kind of rustle Kalen's jimmies a little bit. So
go for it.
What if in the beginning of the movie, it's a scene from Man of Steel where Billy Batson and his parents are in that city and his parents get killed during the battle?
That's already been done, I feel.
I know.
Why would that rustle my jimmies?
What?
Why would that rustle my jimmies? My jimmies are unrustled.
Okay, good.
I also feel like DC's trying to kind of take a step away from what they've done.
Oh, no, definitely.
So doing that just says, oh, no, we're still in the same whole thing where nothing has changed, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, we're still dealing with something from 10, 11 years ago.
Yeah, that's one of those things that cannot be insinuated from the trailer.
That too.
You know, it's sure, you know. But
I guess it wouldn't even make sense because it's two different comic.
Okay, well, the other thing is
comic studios.
Billy and his friends seem to have a fascination with superheroes that I don't think I'd have if my parents were killed by Superman.
I don't know if Billy has a fascination, but Freddy does. I think
Billy probably explicitly
I think
doesn't.
Billy's
he probably
like,
hates
wow,
him.
You're such a nerd for liking this kind of stuff. Why do I have to hang
yeah,
out
he even
with
says,
you?
He even says, you know a lot more about this than I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what I'm seeing is that they're trying to play off of this whole thing that the love for superheroes is still a really kind of niche subculture. Like, this is what...
Yeah.
This is what nerds and geeks like. We beat those kids up instead of...
Yeah, and weirdos who are maybe, like, worshipping serial killers for all we know. Because superheroes, they're freaking dangerous as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Which is a very... Which, of course, this is a different universe than our universe in which the love for superheroes has become normal. It's become mainstream to be in a fandom. So, where was I going with this? Yeah, so I think Freddy is going to be very much into it, and Billy himself is going to be like, I want nothing of any of that nerd stuff until it just hits him like a ton of bricks, and he realizes, oh, I am the nerd stuff now.
Yeah, he, I would assume, doesn't have a lot of role models. His parents are gone. He's not huge in the heroes. Everyone else seems to be in his age, or at least his friend Freddy, but we can tell. And maybe he likes his home life. They seem pretty nice. The house seems pretty cool.
But he's ready to
there's
run.
There's some
he's
jokes.
He's ready
yeah,
to
he's
run
ready to
at
run.
Any point.
Yeah. The option comes, you know, to be and to do whatever he wants. And
he doesn't really want to be a superhero. Yeah. He just wants to be a kid, well, right?
I mean, he wants to be a superhero. Who doesn't? But he's just, I don't think he figures out how to change it back and forth. Because if he did, he wouldn't have to worry about peeing in the suit and whatnot. I think there's going to be a point in which he discovers how to turn things on and off, what it costs. He might learn the history of the wizard and his powers and everything. And like maybe that's when we're going to get some Black Adam stuff.
Yeah.
Like I'm super surprised that there hasn't been
The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock dropped in these
shows.
Yeah,
seriously.
Yet. If not now, when, DC? You know what I mean? Like, you already cast them. I don't.
So I think we got a pretty good idea so far of our exposition. I think the trailer gives us a great sense of the exposition, which leads us to that kind of opening problem. And I think that opening, that first bit of rising action is when Freddy starts getting beat up. On that first day of school, because that's when that's kind of, I would say the call to adventure in a way for Billy is he makes that choice of, I have to save my friend and foster brother, which he wasn't going to for a second, but he decides to do it. And it's that choice to beat up those bullies that leads Shazam to say, I choose you. And not only that, we get, okay, Freddy's getting beaten up. Oh, you need your fake family to protect you. He comes, beats them up. Oh, now we're going to kill you. So he goes running. And what we see in the trailer, he runs, heads into the subway, goes into the subway, which then transports him to another world.
Right.
So right there, we got the opening problem and an attempted solution and the first bit of kind of rising action.
Yeah, there's a lot this tells us, though, about the way DC's multiverse is going to function. I think that the wizard is going to be, because he's not, it's very similar to like Chronicles of Narnia in a way, where there's like different ports that can open and close controlled by, you know, the magic from the other side. The wizard has to pull him out of that train. He's not taking a train literally to this frosty other realm. So that tells us that there's some ability of that ancient power to bring people back and forth.
Well, so I was just looking up a little lore about Shazam. And I did not know this, but the word Shazam is an acronym for... It says, so an acronym of six immortal elders, Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles, and Mercury.
That's dope.
Yeah, isn't
it? I don't know that.
Yeah.
That did not occur to me, dude. That's dope. I did not know that.
Yeah, I had no idea. It's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, the whole hero, yeah, he's steeped in these pantheons, this ancient tradition. And that power, I think, might get explained in the second one when we get The Rock. I wouldn't bet on it being in this one. This one's going to be a lot more safe, I think. I'm super wondering about his foster family's motivation for taking him in. They seem like a big family.
I think they're a big foster family.
Yeah, exactly.
So
they took in his foster brother because he has a gimp. You know, stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. So I think yeah. One thing. So I wonder how long we're actually going to get inside the cave of wonders. Because the trailer itself is like he comes in, you know, he sees it, says, who are you, Billy Batson? I've chosen you to be my champion. Say my name so my powers can run through you. What's your name? Shazam. Laugh. Say my name! Then he says it. Boom! All of a sudden, there, I think we're going to get a huge transformation kind of scene of just like, la 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 la. And like, you know, he flies up in the air, spins around a bit, all of a sudden a cape appears and he becomes a man.
That'd be fucking dope. One thing that I love about Shazam though is that it's immediate.
Yeah.
He's just struck by lightning and he's Shazam.
Right.
It's actually an attack used by Black Adam quite a bit. I don't know if he's going to know how to fight actual supervillains. Mm-hmm. One dynamic DC's always had above Marvel, I've always liked more than Marvel, is that, you know, Marvel, you have this basically paramilitary group in the Avengers where they straight up just kill people. They fight armies.
Mm-hmm.
They take forts. They fight aliens, invasions, and stuff like that. But then also, you know, the occasional Mad Titan.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're intergalactic superheroing people.
Mm-hmm.
DC, most of the time, they are actual gods. Like Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's Batman. And there's Nightwing. They have street-level heroes that are strictly street-level, you know, until the EU eventually picks them up, and now Batman's in like a giant ice suit and shit and stuff like that. But you know, for the most part, God. Batman is a street level hero.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if DC plans on acknowledging the difference. I know that Suicide Squad 2 is coming out. Suicide Squad 1 was Dookie. That was more of the street level DC. This is more of the intergalactic DC, you know, the big stuff, super duper fantasy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If DC mixes it better than Marvel does somehow, I'd be very impressed. Shazam has the ability to bridge that gap very soon for DC. And for example, Aquaman just came out. I liked it. It was extremely fantasy. It was just a Power Rangers Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah,
it was. I feel like this is going to like a step down, and then maybe we might get Suicide Squad 2 again.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe DC can find a good oscillation between the street level and, I don't know, the sky level, if you want to call it. I don't know.
I think something, looking at Marvel really quickly, I think their street level has come through their TV.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
undeniable.
Yeah. And, yeah. Anyway, moving on. He becomes Shazam. So we've gotten to that point, I think, in our beginning ideas. He becomes Shazam. And I think with what we see in the trailer, the first thing he does is he goes straight to Freddy. Mm-hmm. Help me out. What is this? Please. Teach me. Tell me what I need to do. And that's where we see the, let's train. Let's see what you can do. Oh my goodness, you have super strength. Can you fly? Not yet, not really, but you can jump pretty high. A fun little montage there. I think
Billy's going to excel at some things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe punching shit. Mm-hmm. You know, something rudimentary that superheroes do. Running real fast. I don't know. Maybe it's casting as lightning. Who knows?
But then
he's going to be terrible at other things.
And there will be one thing that he needs to know and needs to be able to do as Shazam, a kind of finishing move or something,
mm-hmm.
that he just can't yet. He can't figure it out. He can't do it. And he's going to need to do it. He's going to need to get his full abilities to be able to beat this bad guy.
Yeah, he's like pre-training Hercules. He's like a demigod, basically, like, but without training. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like Disney's version of Hercules, where like he's like kind of a dope, but he's really strong, but he is like before his training, he was just an idiot who like broke everything. You mm-hmm. know? I don't know.
Right.
So
I would love to see. Yeah, go ahead, Darius.
I was thinking so after he gets his powers, I would say about the next 30 minutes mm-hmm. is him and Freddy kind of just having a overall good time. Mm-hmm. They do a little bit of that training. They have some fun. They go out, you know, and they're at the convenience store after a day of training, and they see a couple of bad guys robbing the place. And they're like, I don't think you want to do that. So they shoot him. Oh, my God, you've got bullet immunity. Which I always think is so weird. He says, you got bullet immunity. And then Shazam goes, I'm bulletproof. I'm like, who, like, even, like, out of nerds, most of us just say right. bulletproof.
Right.
I don't know of anyone who says, you've got bullet immunity.
Bullet right. immunity.
But that's neither here nor there. But so I think that next kind of half hour. So right now we've got about 15 minutes exposition, maybe 5-10 minutes in the cave, yeah. another half hour of them just goofing around, being friends, having yeah, a good I think time. No consequences.
I think the reason he does that, I hope it serves his character as like a nerd.
Yeah.
I only say that. So like back in the day, when, like, me and my brother, for example, were super into comic books and stuff like that, mm-hmm. my brother would always, like, assign rudimentary, like, levels to people for no reason. Like, he said that – he always used to say that Wolverine had a healing factor of 8.
Huh.
And there was no reason for this. He was just, you know, Wolverine, his healing factor? What is it? Oh, it's 8. You know, I think the nerdy kids, they always, like, have their own metrics.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like it's not good enough for him to be bulletproof.
Right.
He is immune. Yeah.
He's immune.
Yeah. There's levels. You're bulletproof. You're immune. You can be scathed. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I think that serves his character. I really hope DC pulls out something like that where everything in the dialogue like that is in service of the character.
And so now we're at about 55 minutes, I would say, into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is when a really big problem arises with either the Mark Strong bad guy or something comes about. There's a complication, an opening problem, really another step up into this rising action of I can't just have fun with this anymore. I have this power and this responsibility
mm-hmm.
to use this power. And we're going to have to figure out what this problem is. We know it seems like the bad guy's going to be Mark Strong from the, trailer. So what do we think he's doing? What do we think is that inciting problem that forces Billy/Shazam's hand?
Right.
To do more than just a few fun little capers at the local convenience store.
Yeah. Right. I can see.
Sorry.
I can see the. Something like. I don't know. It's hard and long to explain. Basically, what ends up happening is Billy Batson ends up loving his new persona.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's too good to give up. He wins the day almost, or all the way. It works out. Everything is hunky dory. But there's something about what gives him his power that is going to be very detrimental to the rest of the world. Perhaps the power seeps in some way from dimensions. You know, something happens, he could release Black Adam, something of that level, where there's a huge downside to him remaining Shazam.
Yeah.
He's going to have to give it up, or something like that. He's going to have to give up the powers, at least for a little bit, or find a way to temper them to a level where maybe he's a lot less powerful in future movies. Mm-hmm. Or he's going to have to, you know, turn it off for long periods of time. You know, something similar to, you know, Hulk, where he can't really turn it on, maybe. You know, Hulk was doing in Infinity War, where it's just kind of tough. You know, something's going to happen where this power that he thinks he always has is not going to be as accessible as he thinks it's going to be or as he needs it to be. it's kind of going to be a greater good type thing, mm-hmm. because there's nowhere to really go with Shazam as far as like powers, and same thing with Superman. You have to kind of do like, okay, you have all this power, everything's great. However, there's a greater good that you have to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm. So,
Jeb, you can go.
Okay. So I think the villain, he's going to be this guy named Dr. Sivana, who's like one of his like arch nemesis.
Okay.
And in the comics, he has like a scar and everything. So like, pretty sure it's Dr. Sivana. but I definitely think you're right about him having like some sort of limitation put upon his power, you know, because he's bullet immune. Like, he's like, he can fly, he can call lightning, like, he's super strong. Like, there's got to be, like, obviously, there's got to be something where, like, he can't just, like, mow down his enemies like they're nothing, right?
Right.
I don't know.
So I think we need to think about this. Let's say it's Dr. Sivana. Let's just put that in our movie. He has to have some kind of a plot, some kind of a scheme. Right now, the only thing I can think of, and I don't know why, is just a bank robbery. But that's so boring. Yeah. Boring compared compared to Shazam's powers. Why would he have to deal with a minuscule little bank robbery? That's for Batman to figure out, not Shazam. sorry, I just thought of the opening intro to the Batman animated series. Two guys just walk in the street, and all of a sudden this hooded guy comes and ties him up and says, "These are the bank robbers." How'd you know? They were just walking around.
I did a fanfic back in high school where Batman is like indisposed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And basically the only person available in the Justice League who isn't doing anything who can defend Gotham is Shazam. And he's like having to deal with like Penguin and stuff. And Penguin's like doing his like evil plans, and Shazam like flies to the roof and he's like, "Stop what you're doing now, Cobblepot." And Penguin's like, "Batman? Is that you?" And it's like, but I would hate for something like that to actually happen in the EU.
Right. I think this problem needs to be big. It needs to be something like
magical related.
Or he's trying to create some kind of universal energy grid.
The grid.
Okay.
For some reason, recently, a lot of villains have been environmentalists in odd ways. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you look at, like, if you look at Kingsman, Samuel L. Jackson's character decides, "I'm going to just kill everyone except for the famous and rich people, and we're going to have a wonderful world with, like, only a few hundred people on it in which we can actually survive and sustain." So like there's good intentions hidden behind evil ways about going about it. Mm-hmm. So like in Aquaman, Aquaman's brother, I can't think of his name right now, wants to just clean up his own world from the humans who are destroying it, you know,
right.
But he doesn't exactly do it in the best way. So I feel like that's kind of the stepping. That's kind of the thing that a lot of villains have to make them relatable. I mean,
Thanos.
Even Thanos is like, "I'm doing this for the survival of the universe." He has his own good intentions. He's just going about it in a really, really wrong way. Right. So I feel like that is something that we need to look into for this Dr.
Yeah, Savant. Something sympathetic in him, I'm hearing. He has a scar. Who's to say it wasn't caused by lightning? Maybe from someone similar to Shazam. Maybe Black Adam, who he's confusing with Shazam.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe.
Or he's been involved with this power before.
Right?
And he's trying to snuff it from the earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a doctor and he's dealing with something that he doesn't know the dangers of. Like black matter or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see him confront him in public out in some...
That's what's really getting me odd. It's like they're just out in the street and he's like, oh, you must be a bad guy. Boom. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, like why? Because he looks like one? Is he just doing a speech? Is he... not actually doing anything that bad?
Right.
He's confused about him being a bad guy.
Well, no, he goes, oh, because I think this bad guy can actually stand up to him for the first time. Right. He has someone who can actually match him tit for tat in a way.
So this guy's been doing bad stuff for a while.
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah. Maybe we're going to have some sort of segment where Dr. Savannah is like, I don't know, like in league with other villains, because like, you know, you've got the Justice League. Maybe this could be an introduction to the Injustice League. I don't know. Maybe. What do you guys think about the idea of the
Injustice? I just think it's going to be way too safe for any of that. As much as I'd love to see Flashpoint right now, or Blackest Night, or... You know,
I also think they're going to want to save some of those villains for some of the characters that are more solidified. So they're going to want to have more of these big villains against the bigger name heroes like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
Shazam is not the character to usher in these things, but DC fucks up a lot. I could see it happening. This villain looks very small, though. Does not look like a big threat.
No.
Which is interesting. Yeah, I think the issue is going to be more of an internal struggle of a Billy does something to hurt Freddy, either emotionally or physically or both. To lose his trust. I think he does something that loses Freddy's trust in him. And he realizes that he's been so used to just losing people's trust and being fine with it, moving on, going to the next one. But for some reason in this case, he doesn't want to lose this trust in this friend. He decides then that he realizes he really messed up and he needs to find a way about fixing it. So I think that's kind of, at least for me, what I'm seeing the plot generally go to, and within either if we want to keep moving or if in the next episode we kind of dive deeper into that to get a bit more fleshed out idea of that, that would be good. Either way, we can keep going or we can kind of say, all right, we've got an exposition, kind of a good first hour or so, and we can kind of flesh out more in our final episode.
Yep.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm game for that.
I think we have a pretty solid base upon like what we think is going to like unfold from
for our movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was our first attempt at kind of starting to storyboard a movie. So that was that. Moving on to everyone's favorite segment. Do or do not. There is no try.
Oh snap.
Before we get going into whoever gets the next challenge, I want to talk about my last challenge, my experience with Alien.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's been now a little less than a week, but it was last weekend that I did it. I got into my room, with blackout curtains and dark, turned it on, and wow. I mean, one, it wasn't scary for me. I would say the alien itself wasn't scary. The scariest thing in that was Jones, that freaking cat.
Yeah.
I think that cat had more jump scares than the alien did.
Oh, I don't like jump scares.
Jump scares are the worst. That's what honestly gets me more than anything.
Really?
Man. I hate jump scares. And luckily this one didn't have too many. And there wasn't many moments of me being like, oh my God, this could come and get me, because I'm not a stupid enough person to be like, whoa, what's this spaceship? Let's go in it. Whoa, what's this old freaking fossil that got exploded from the inside? I don't know. Let's look at it. Hey guys,
Let's have sex.
Let's look at this deeper, this deeper cave. Oh yeah, it's so hot down here. What's this gooey stuff? I don't know. Oh my God, there's an egg. Holy crap, there's a thing living inside of it. Let me open it and see what's... you have got to be kidding me.
How many bad white people
decisions do they have to make to get to that point? And this was the other thing. So, spoilers for Alien.
Oh, poopy.
A little bit. I guess I don't want... I guess I'll try not to, but...
Jeb, it's been 40 years.
Kaylin, so there's the twist with Ash, right?
Yeah.
Which was actually, I loved that twist. That was
I think it works.
An incredible twist. That was mind blowing. But it's revealed wanted all this to happen based off of the government wanted this to happen.
Yeah, that shows that happens a lot.
And I just thought to myself, a lot in
alien movies. They always show up.
I thought to myself, how did the government know that the spaceship would, one, pick up the signal, two, decide to investigate this signal, and three, make so many stupid white people decisions that they could get the alien on board the ship?
Right.
Like that, there's a lot that had to go wrong to make sure you could get this alien back. And
oh boy, you would love the sequels.
Yeah.
But
Prometheus.
I think you're absolutely right. The sound design, and I thought the sets were amazing.
The sets are considered to be some of the best in any sci-fi.
Yes.
As far as originality. Oh boy.
And one of the things that was unfortunate about the sound was there were moments where it was just absolutely silent on the screen.
Yeah.
When not Parker, but Parker's friend, the white dude who always is complaining about getting paid. When he's looking for Jones, the cat, he goes into this room, in the movie is absolutely silent, but in my house, there was like a radiator on or something. So throughout about like half the movie, I just heard this constant, just kind of.
Oh boy, that's so good.
But I thought that was just constant sound in the movie. And I was like, wow, they've really paid attention to this behind the scenes sound of like constantly having this mechanical ship moving. And then I quickly realized eventually that, like, oh, no, that's just my house making noises.
Yeah.
It's not The Shining.
Right. But I thought that was really good. It was intense. I told my mom,
you should rename your radiator the Nostromo.
it was a good experience. I enjoyed it. If you look at it plot-wise, there's not that much of a plot. It's just people walking around hoping they don't die.
Those are the best movies. Little plot. Very Little Plot something, was the best movie.
One thing I was going to say, I was thinking to myself, I thought, I love that they've empowered, like, this was made in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a very strong female character. 79. They've got a very strong female character, which is just, I mean,
absolutely
really cool at the time. And I was like, wow, and they didn't, at first, for like the first, let's see, it's like 2 hours long. So the first hour and 30 minutes, hour and 40 minutes, I was like, and they don't even sexualize her. She's just a character.
Right,
but then,
right.
Of course, in the last 20 minutes, they decide to strip her down to her underwear. And
well, she's got to go to cryo sleep.
But I was just like, I was about to be like, wow, they don't even, you know. But then it's like, oh, now she's in very skimpy underwear. Okay, so I guess, you know, it still is the 70s. And
right.
You gotta at least have some of that. But
right.
Overall, I thought it was a really good movie, and I'm glad I got to watch it. It was intense. There were some good scares, especially from the cat. Good twist. It was a fun. Oh, the other thing I liked, the black guy wasn't the first one to die.
Oh my god!
Oh boy!
I was like, yes.
It's
he actually survived.
Truly a movie ahead of its time.
He actually survived quite a while, and I thought that was a good thing. So yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought I was going to be terrified for weeks after this, and
dang it!
But no, thank you for having me watch it, because I wouldn't have watched it on my own, and I wouldn't have been able to experience such a good and classic movie.
Awesome.
So,
I don't want to pick like crappy movies for you, like you know, like
The Escape Room,
yeah, or It.
I was paying attention to what Darius said last week. Mm-hmm. I think that he struck a chord with what this segment should be, which is we should be making ourselves go out of our comfort zone and become more culturally adept, is what Darius said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Because because individually, we're losers. Together.
Speak for yourself. I'm just kidding.
Together we can thrust together some good stuff.
Yeah.
Pop culture wise, hopefully.
So definitely as the shows go on, mm-hmm. like I don't always have to do horror. I mean, I've also got documentaries that you know of. But like we all have movies that we haven't seen, whether they're of one genre or another. Like, you know, I can't think of any that come to my mind now, but you know, if someone, you know, says, oh, I haven't seen Field of Dreams. Well, okay. You're going to like, even if that's not exactly in your genre, you're just going to need to watch that. Oh, I haven't seen Animal House. Like, okay.
Really?
No, I'm just saying these are examples as if you hadn't. I have seen Animal House. I have seen Field of Dreams. Do not worry. Gotcha. I've seen both of those. If you thought I was a baseball fan and I hadn't seen Field of Dreams,
yeah,
what's going on? From Iowa.
Have you seen Bull Durham?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Bull Durham. I mean, such classic. Such classic. Yeah,
Jesus Christ, Joe.
What is this?
It's more democratic.
Jesus, Jeb.
What?
Jeb.
Kalen.
Listen. Durs, I think we've stumbled upon our new challenge for the week.
Oh, no.
Do we want to save it for like in a month or two when the baseball season, spring training starts?
Ooh, boy.
Ooh. I like that.
Jeb,
I like that.
You got a big storm coming.
I'm guessing that's a line from the movie. Maybe?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's just a meme.
Oh, okay.
A very dead meme.
It's rewind time.
Okay, so that was my report. If anyone has any good... If anyone wants Jeb, to suggest... Yeah.
Jeb, have you seen The Natural?
Is that a baseball movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that the Babe Ruth one?
No.
No.
No? Oh, which one is that?
Jeff, have you seen Bad News Bears?
Yes, I have seen that one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Redemption.
All right. All right.
Have you seen Angels in the Outfield?
I
that's not really a baseball movie. That's kind of a.
I don't even know, man.
Have you seen the beginning of Space Jam?
Of course, I've seen Space Jam. I've seen Okay, yeah.
Baseball movies.
Oh boy!
The beginning of Space Jam. Oh, that was a good one. That was a goodie.
But in all seriousness, we need a challenge.
Okay. Is it my turn?
If someone wants to say, like, come up with something like, hey, I haven't seen this. Anytime you can say that, and we'll find a way to make it into a challenge.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to think of something. I mean, I had such a good one for Kalen 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was too good.
I have a good one for Kalen, but I don't know if I just gave Kalen one. Or I just gave Dirt. I just gave you one, Durs.
That's okay. I mean, we don't have to all alternate every single time. If you've got one, give it.
Oh, okay.
Hold them as you see them.
So, like, Kayla has already seen this one. I made her watch it back in sophomore year. But I feel like you would enjoy it because it is genuinely like a good film.
Well, good.
That's okay. Good.
It is a Japanese animated movie. However, it's made by one of the best directors of that genre. So it's not like, okay, it's not like Naruto or like some sort of like it's not like one of the animes that I watch. It's like very like.
As long as you can promise me that nobody runs with their arms behind them.
I cannot promise you that. I mean, I can't remember that if that's a thing or not. If it is, it's like for a split second. It's not Naruto, okay? It's not Naruto. I
promise. What is it, Jim?
Okay, so it's called Spirited Away by Hayao Miyazaki.
I think I've heard of this one.
It is a good one.
Have you seen it, Durs?
Yeah, Spirited Away.
Oh! Like,
that has to be the single most popular anime ever made, right?
Yes.
Yes, that and Howl's Moving
Castle. Because it's like the only one that I've seen.
Yeah. It's very good, trust me. Like, it's...
Oh, I trust you.
Okay, all right. Kayla will probably hate...
It is what you wish.
Okay, yeah, I mean...
So... How do we want to go about challenging if we want to make it any kind of challenge?
Jeb.
All right. So what sparked my idea for this challenge was, one, I just love the movie. Mm-hmm. But two, I was watching this kind of synopsis video the other day from this YouTuber guy named Big Joel.
Big Joel. Just
happened to find. Yeah. So... Okay. He discusses in the film about Hayao Miyazaki uses the art of ambivalence. So maybe you could try and, during the process of watching the film, come up with some little points where you think he uses ambivalence as a tool in his film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, that's why it's a challenge, all right, Kalen?
Oh, man.
Maybe you could actually finish your assignment.
Wow.
Oh.
Watch myself.
I'm sorry.
I'll just bother myself.
I like the challenge. That's a pretty good challenge. Gets you a little bit into the movie. Gives you some... No, I mean, it's something. It's something. It gets you... Let's watch the movie. But
Kalen's gonna get me back later.
I also think you, as the listeners, you can definitely write in challenges.
Oh, fucking please do.
Please do. Because as you can see, we flounder in the best way possible.
Yeah, a lot.
But if you are like, oh, my dear Lord, I just heard that, you know, Jeb has never seen Bull Durham. Well, I've got this great, great idea.
Not only has he never seen it, he didn't know what it was.
Right.
I have no idea what it is. I'm sorry.
I've got this great idea to, you know, get Jeb to watch Bull Durham in a really exciting way. Send it in. I mean, we will give you the credit. We will not take it as our own. We will give you the credit saying so-and-so sent this wonderful idea in, and we're going to challenge. So excited to do that.
Yeah.
We might not take everyone, every challenge, but, you know, the best ones we may take.
Yeah, what we deem is good.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Please send stuff in. Please let us know that stuff. Please give us your ideas, your thoughts, your hate mail. I mean.
Right.
Let us know how much. Yeah. So your challenge is to watch Bearded Away and to come back to us with a report on how the director uses ambivalence within the movie and within the art.
Yeah. You know that gif I always send of the guy staring into the abyss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the gif that's happening. All the time.
Yes.
Especially now.
Has the challenge been met?
It was a low blow.
Challenge has been met.
Ooh, baby.
Woot.
I will do homework on this anime.
Oh, okay. All right.
You thought you got your degree and we're done.
I thought the podcast was going to be fun.
See, this is how I felt coming out of the last one with Alien. I was certain. I was like, I'm never going to be the same again.
Right.
But here I am.
You didn't have to write a philosophy paper on it.
I didn't expect a paper.
Yeah, just like
a report.
Just like, yeah.
I'll have it on your desk by Tuesday.
All right. Not like an actual formal report, just like points where he like uses it as like, because like it's an important part of the movie. It's like, just watch the movie, Kalen.
I will deliver on this.
All right.
I will deliver.
A challenge.
I had to write something good about The Last Jedi, all right? That took a lot of...
Was that hard to do, Jeb? Was that tough?
It was.
Tell us how hard it was.
A hard time.
You know, it's hard to make something shiny and pretty out of a pile of dookie. So, yes.
Under enough pressure, you can make anything under shiny and pretty.
Yes. And Kalen, you're a very good film analyzer, so you know it's gonna be like a cakewalk for you.
Oh boy.
So I think that just about does it. I've got about 100 minutes of podcast to edit tomorrow morning.
Sorry, Durs.
So
Jesus fuck. Oh no.
Yeah,
Durs has the actual assignment. Kalen, you're just watching a movie. Yeah, you're right.
Oh hey, is this movie on Netflix or what? I'll find it.
You'll find it. It's not too hard to find.
I will find it, and I will kill it.
All right.
Anyway.
Maybe it'll kill your hate of anime. Maybe.
Doubt it.
All right.
I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Anyway, here we go. We've done it.
It's false hope.
We've episode 6 in the bag. So here we are.
In the bag.
Here we are once again at the end of our podcast, our time with you. And how sad it is to part. Thank you again for listening to us, for putting up with our mediocrity and our shenanigans. If you do listen to us,
our diversions.
You are truly the saints in this world.
I've pretty much come to
I've made peace with the fact that a lot of these are going to be considered archive for people to go back and be like, oh, wow. You know, after we're a few episodes in, when we're actually having people listen to us, you're like, oh, yeah, remember the old episodes?
We're going to, like, hide them away and the old.
Yeah.
The basement tapes.
I don't know.
Because they deleted them from the archive, sir? Someone deleted them from the archive memory, sir.
Truly wonderful, the mind of Jeb is. Oh boy.
Anyway, thanks again for listening. Thank you. And if you made it this far, kudos.
Yeah, thank you.
Amazing. Yeah, good job. Holy shit.
You are strong.
You have more patience than most of us. Of course, I will get past, I'll edit past some of the worst parts and, you know, give you all the golden nuggets.
What?
The golden nuggets.
If you made it this far, you get Durs's golden nuggets. Oh, God, I need to go to bed.
Y'all, I'm an hour ahead of you guys. So.
Jeez.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, you can listen to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Outcast, Pocket Cast, Anchor. And.
He's right. And next week, I will have a special message for you.
Yes, Kalen will have a really special message.
was correct.
We are moving on up, and things are happening.
Actually 24?
I will have you a special message about our Patreon and how you can support the Trailblazers.
Very good.
Otherwise, we're going to have to get hella sponsors, and we're only going to talk about them if we can do it in a transatlantic accent.
The spirit of St. Louis. Can Charles
exactly, does.
Wait till next time to see if the trailer
I can't
raises.
Do this on command. I can't.
You're going to have to do it, Jeb.
All right, I'm going to have to do it. All right.
Unless we get 100 patrons, because sponsorships are something we need. Everyone needs them.
Because we need that money.
It's Judy the needs them. Dollar.
She's doing her part, are you?
So tune in next time on the Trailer Blazers to see if or they don't. Can finish storyboarding Shazam.
Doubtful.
And don't forget, loose lips sink ships.
Anyway, thanks. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you next time on the Trailer Blazers.
The Trailer Blazers.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.